This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. There's a wonderful curriculum that is especially created for children called Godly Play. And I'm going to make use of one of the tools this morning. This is what you would think is a sandbox, but it is much more than that. And it's a very creative program. I was trained in it this past summer. And it's a very creative way to involve children in the story and to begin to deal with how they wonder and think. And it is an amazing program. So let us begin. This is a desert box. It's not the real desert. It's only a piece of the desert. So in many ways, this box here will symbolize for us the desert, because so many of the Old Testament stories are placed in the desert. Now, we know that the desert is a very dangerous place. Because of the strong winds, we know that the sand blows and that the surface shifts and changes. It's a dangerous place because it's so easy to get lost. Because nothing ever looks the same again with that shifting sand and the strong winds. But also you need to wear lots of clothes in the desert. Because when that wind blows, that sand stings your skin and your face. So you wear lots of clothes to hide your body. But also we know that the heat is very strong, and we need to keep ourselves from becoming dry because of that hot sun. All the clothes are also important at nighttime because we know it gets very cold, and you need to have the clothing to stay warm. It's a place of contrasts. The desert is so dangerous. So little water, so little food to be found. And yet, here it is in this desert that so many of the Bible stories take place. One day, there was a man from Nazareth. He had come out of the River Jordan, out of the refreshing waters and cleansing waters of the Jordan. The skies had opened, and the message of God said, "You are my beloved son." But immediately out of those waters, that same spirit drove Jesus out into that desert. And for 40 days, he was tempted. For 40 days, he was tempted. The wilderness is a common experience to all of our lives. It is that moment when we are pushed to the edge and we throw up our arms and in tears and shouts cry out, "How am I possibly going to make it through?" It is when we lose all hope and confidence and find ourselves in despair, confronting fears, feeling panic. Perhaps it's best described by many who say this truly is hell on earth. But what I want to share with you this morning is that I believe that these wilderness experiences, as they were for the people of Scripture, experiences that challenge us to be truly the people that God desires us to be. With the reading we have this morning for this first Sunday of Lent from the Gospel of Mark, there seems to be three significant events in Jesus' life that Mark has crammed all together in this succinct little story. We have the story of Jesus' baptism, and then his temptation, and then his proclaiming the good news to the world. Why does Mark do this? As I reflected on this reading this week, I began to realize that this wilderness, this desert, is truly a symbol, a metaphor of our life's journey. As we look at it with Jesus, we first discover that in the beginning of that story, there is this affirmation of who Jesus is. And then there is a test to evaluate whether he is ready to be doing the mission that God has called him to do. And then there is a confirmation of his sending to break in the kingdom with the good news of God. Now, consistent with last Sunday's scripture reading with the Transfiguration, we know that this is a kind of a mountaintop experience for Jesus to be baptized. As the heavens opened, and in the form of a dove, the Holy Spirit descended upon him, the words were heard, "You are my son, my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." Indeed, this was an experience for Jesus that filled him with meaning and with purpose and with joy for his life. Because in that event, God empowered him, equipped him, and supported him to be about the life that would now occur. But before we can even take a breath, Mark suddenly has that Holy Spirit pushing Jesus out into the desert. Did you catch that? That same Holy Spirit that anointed him and pronounced that you are my beloved son pushes him out into the desert. Why would God do such a thing to his son? I find a very meaningful description of why from the book and movie, The Greatest Story Ever Told. And this is what it says. On a hillside, Jesus found a cavern, and there he made his solitary camp. His sole reason for retreating to this grotto was that he must become acquainted with human suffering and temptation. Jesus had to know them firsthand and altogether before he could begin his work. He must overcome temptation himself as a man, not as God, before he could advise others of what to do. That was why Jesus made his way into the wilderness. And so the Holy Spirit brought him into the desert, face to face with the forces of temptation, the power of the devil and all his demons, before he could go and proclaim the good news of life and love to the world. Jesus had to encounter head on and face all of this before he could be a vehicle of grace and love for us. St. Mark's gospel does not give us a lot of detail about the temptations or what took place like the account in Matthew and Luke does. All he says is simply he was in the desert 40 days. That means a lot of time. It also was a way to remind us that the people of God of the past spent 40 years in the desert trying to figure out what is their life in light of the living God. Jesus was tempted by Satan. But it also continues to say that beyond these 40 days, there were wild beasts. This was meaningful to the people who heard Mark's gospel because Mark is writing to a group of Christians who are being persecuted. And what they knew was that they were being thrown to the beasts, to the wild animals, as entertainment. For them to know that our Lord experienced the temptation of animals desiring and looking for their next meal was a part of his reality too. And then after all of this, Jesus is called out of the desert and to proclaim the good news of God's love, to be that vehicle of grace and love that he was empowered and tested to do. As I further reflect on those that reading that we have for today from Mark, I begin to realize that this story of baptism and temptation in the wildernesses of life is not just Jesus' story. It is also your story, as well as mine. The first thing that happens to Jesus once he's baptized, similar to after we've had a great religious experience, maybe our own baptism as we recall it, maybe a communion service, a prayer service, whatever happened when we had an encounter with God, like Jesus, we have this high, this mountaintop experience. And then we must step into the reality of the daily world. Isn't it true for us that with the daily world, we confront a world of temptation, witnessing that we are wandering in a wilderness, that we must face temptations and trouble? It's unfortunate that there are preachers out there who believe that all that solves that problem is for you to believe in Jesus, and if you follow him faithfully, there will be no problems. Well, I don't believe that to be true. In fact, I believe the message is opposite. Because Jesus suffered, so will we. Jesus didn't promise a rose garden. Here was a man who was tempted, who was tried, who was executed on a cross. A man who turns to us and say, "Take up your cross and follow me." He prepared us to realize that that is what true life is about. That daily we confront a wilderness experience. As Christians, we are not spared from trials and temptations and testing, as is the meaning of the Greek word that is used here for temptation. As Christians, we are flesh and blood. We're not angels. We are driven into the wilderness often. Our faith is proved over and over. We are not spared the problems of life. We're not immune to the snares and the tricks of God's adversary, the devil. But the good news is that this temptation experience for Jesus is the mark of defeat against Satan. A defeat that is accomplished when Jesus goes onto the hill of Calvary and dies to conquer sin and death. That is the gift that comes to us as we fight our wilderness experiences. Jesus is more powerful than Satan. And you and I can claim the power of our Lord, knowing that sin and death do not have dominion, that our dominion is being with Jesus, having the life and the joy he gives to us now as we live in and through him. I realize that perhaps this day and age, not many of us are tormented and tempted by demons. I think perhaps this day and age, the devil is not so blatant and is much more subtle and devious in his ways. For instance, I believe the devil tempts us to believe that we do not need the grace of God. After all, you got all kinds of great gifts. You can do it all on your own. Isn't that what society tells us? I believe the devil also tempts us to think that religion is not necessary. I mean, you come and every week and get pumped up a little bit. It's all about you, you know. But it's really about God and what God desires for our lives. We're tempted to think that we can do it by being in control of everything in our lives. That having a good bank account and having a good job and investments and a family is more important than having a life in God. We're tempted to believe that we are self-righteous, that we can look down our noses at others around us, that we can judge and criticize because they're different. The devil tempts us by replacing good things, families and relationships and jobs, making us forget that faith and obedience to God is more important. The devil does not usually hide in scary shapes or monsters that are hiding in closets or things that go bump in the night as portrayed in stories and movies for children. The devil rather looks good, is tempting and desirable. And we are weak. But thanks be to God that God is strong. Jesus went into that wilderness driven by the power of the Holy Spirit so that he could come to us and proclaim the victory and the love and the life that is ours. Jesus died that we may have that good news. He suffered to show us that there is always hope and life. Through him, we have strength in our temptations. We have forgiveness of our sins. And we have God's presence daily, as Jesus did each of those 40 days as the angels ministered to him. There was a recent TV movie called Eric. Eric was a young man living and struggling with cancer. In that movie, there is one particular scene that I find quite moving. In the scene, Eric is at his summer home, standing at the shore next to his father. And in remembering the past with his father, he says, "I remember, Dad, those many years ago when I wanted to swim across the bay. And you finally allowed me to do that, and you came with me. And as we got out there, I got scared, and I suddenly said, 'I can't do this.' And you simply turned to me and said, 'Hold on, I will hold you. We will get through.'" Eric's father responded by giving support. And now suddenly Eric says, "I can't do it now, Dad." His dad said, "I will not let you down. Just simply put your arms around me, and we will see this through together." Jesus goes into the wilderness of our lives to fight the enemies that attack us, and he will not let us down. He simply invites us to put our arms around his neck, and he will see us through. What we learn from Jesus is that we do have the challenges of the wilderness daily. It is a reality of our living. But Jesus, as the Son of God, met that reality. And in it, he found life. And he offers that life to each of us. And in those daily experiences, as we begin to discover God more and more, in prayer, in scripture, in study, in fellowship, we begin to hear that voice. We hear it on the mountaintop frequently, but that voice will also speak to us when the winds of change are driving us into a wilderness. And the voice will tell you, "I am here. I am with you, and I will never let you go." Thanks be to God. Amen.